This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here. Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online on this lovely Saturday morning. Nice and rainy out there for you. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So as you guys know, I've had some issues with my old router at home. And one of the things about technology is they fail, right? I mean, things fail with technology. I know you want to buy your computer like you're buying a vehicle or something like that, but they wear out. Components wear out, processors wear out, they overheat, capacitors expand. And my old router was starting to fail. My kids are starting to drive me bonkers because, like, Dad, it keeps dropping us. And, you know, the old shoemaker's children issue here, it's like, I didn't want to mess with my own stuff. I'm like everybody else. But I did. And so I went and did some research and settled on a Linksys EA9500 Max Stream. And so my old router firewall was a 1900 ACS by Linksys. And it had four little antennas. And, of course, I upgraded. This monster has, gosh, eight antennas on it. And it's got dual streams for the 5 gigahertz bands. So if your phone is smart enough to connect via 5 gigahertz, you'll get more performance. But you really won't get more performance. So this is the one thing, you guys, we've talked about it before. Just because you're connected at 1,000 megabits from your phone to your router, it doesn't change anything if your internet speed is 80 megabits, right? It doesn't change anything. And again, 80 is plenty. 50 is plenty megabits for most internet use. So just because you can connect that fast, don't think it's going to make any difference in your life at all. But the device is really very good. It took me about 20 minutes to set up, and everything's been working great with it. Very solid. The broadcast performance on the SSIDs is very good. Much better range than I had before, so it covers the whole house very well. And highly recommend it. Drawback, it's about $350. So it's not a cheap solution. The old solution I had in place, the Linksys ACS 1900 ACS, was about $200. So I got it through committee with very little pushback from the members.
This time,
yeah. Because I think she was sick of hearing the kids complain, too. So, you know, this one should hopefully last. So with most technology, I'm hoping for at least 6 years, right? 6 years on my computer, 6 years on my laptops, hopefully 6 years in a router. It could go longer, right? It could go longer. But it's going to run now 24/7, 365. And things break.
And you got to upgrade the firmware.
And then they break it further.
And change the password.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, of course, it's all configured. Check it out. We'll put a link up there for you out of our computertalkwithtab.com if you want to take a look at what I settled on. But it doesn't mean it's necessarily the best solution, right? There's plenty of great solutions out there. I wanted to find one with great broadcast range, right? I wanted as much Wi-Fi coverage with one device as I could find, and that's really was my real settling factor. And the performance is great. Plenty of processing powers. And it also has MIMO. And that kind of allows for a nice direct Wi-Fi signal between the devices rather than sharing the band. You have more of a direct connection to the Wi-Fi system, which can improve your performance. Again, if you're doing any kind of streaming or what have you, but highly recommend it so far. If it changes, I'll let you know. But it's only been running for a week, so it's not really a long test, but it is in place. So, Bob, what do you have for technology news?
Okay. CNET article.
Yeah.
Draft law could put encryption at risk, report says.
Oh, boy. We were talking about encryption last week with Apple not really blocking their offsite backup and allowing for the encryption to be broken. So what do you got here? Whose law is this?
This is the Earn It bill.
Earn It?
Earn It. Yes. Quote, Earn It. Unquote, bill was drafted by Senator Lindsey Graham to find better ways to protect children online, earlier reports said. Why is all legislation only about protecting the children?
Oh, yeah. What the heck is he talking about?
Yeah. Well, we got to protect the children. End-to-end encryption could be at risk if a new bill to protect children online becomes law. Senator Lindsey Graham drafted the Eliminating Abusive and Rampant Neglect of Interactive Technologies Act of 2019.
What?
Earn It.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a little short name for it. It could affect platforms like Facebook's WhatsApp and Apple's iMessage, which use encrypted messaging.
Right.
The draft law would see a national commission on online child exploitation and prevention formed, which would be able to develop best practices for providers of an interactive computer service, taking into account the size, product, and business model of a company.
Oh my goodness! So
they're saying they don't want to allow
encryption because of the exploitation of children. That's their reasoning.
Yes.
Which is not.
Okay.
A fair way to talk about encryption.
Companies would then have to coordinate with the commission to preserve, remove from view, and report material relating to child exploitation or child sexual abuse.
That's in other words, all fine. We all agree with that.
They want some government organization to watch to look at every message that you send and receive.
In the name of that. Right. But of course we want to make sure people are reporting that type of activity.
Of course.
Nobody has any problem with that. But to say to get rid of encryption over it, that's going to be
let's create another government bureaucracy with thousands of people.
To watch all the traffic.
That, you know, who's paying for that?
Yeah, well, there's that too, yeah.
While social media platforms already have systems for finding and removing such material, they cannot spot it in their messaging services that use encryption. The draft legislation could therefore weaken legal protections for encrypted services, Bloomberg reported Thursday. Mm-hmm. This is because if a company doesn't abide by those best practices, it could lose some protections under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which protects tech giants from liability over users' posts, Bloomberg said.
Right.
The 19-page bill has yet to be introduced, according to the report, but it would require info from social media as well as cloud services, emails, and text platforms to be accessed in lawsuits over child exploitation and abuse.
Yes.
Previously, Apple had been able to avoid opening up access to alleged criminals' phones. U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted his criticism of the company's stance on January 22nd, saying the tech giant has the keys to many criminals' criminal minds.
Right. So again, encryption is the only thing we have for privacy, period. Right. And of course, when you put it in the context of child exploitation, they make it sound like you've got to do this. You've got to protect the children, which we all agree. Of course, you got to protect the children. But this is how they always write the laws, and this is how our privacy keeps getting eroded. And And just to think that they are going to do this, let's just say this passes in the name of the children. It's not Pablo Escobar's son is producing cell phones with encryption. Do you think they're going to comply? You're not going to find encryption elsewhere?
What it says, though, is that if you come up with an instant messaging platform...
Right, you need to make sure they can read their
messages. No, you have to get it approved before you can sell it.
Yeah, but if it's coming out of Brazil or if it's coming out of Colombia,
so
they're not going to deal with it. What are you going to do? You're going to VPN and do whatever you want.
That means if you're an American, you can't start an instant messaging company, can you?
You can't, but the problem is the actual problem they're trying to solve for is still out there. The criminals are going to still use encryption, as are the non-criminals.
Everybody knows that the criminals always obey the laws.
Right, yeah. Very interesting, Bob. Well, this is kind of on the same vein of that. Maryland, this is another silly law. So Maryland's been hit with ransomware, right, constantly. Their government's over and over getting whacked with ransomware because they have awful backups, obviously, and they have really poor security. But what do they want to do? Instead of working on the problem, they want to make malware possession a crime. Yes, you heard it right. So the sub-headline here is, this is again from my favorite a blog out there in England, The Register. The sub-headline here is, hardened cyber crooks must be shaking in their boots. Yes, you go, Maryland. You make malware possession a crime. They'll stop hitting you with ransomware. Look, guys, what we have to do is make Bitcoin a crime, right? You can't allow for the transaction of turning fake money into real money, because that's how the criminals are hitting you with ransomware. They're not asking for dollars. They're asking for Bitcoin that they then go and transfer for real dollars. And you got to either make those exchanges pay heavily when they're being used to do this kind of money laundering. But telling the bad guys not to use malware, make it a crime, is going to change nothing, Maryland. Just like they had the whole thing where they were gonna pledge to not pay the ransom. Well, when your entire government computer system is encrypted
because you didn't have
the proper solutions, proper security, proper backup, what are you gonna do? Either pay the ransom or spend weeks being down, which is fine. I mean, we wouldn't notice if government was down for a couple of weeks. We probably would all celebrate. But in this case, this new law is just, guys, you're dinglings, man.
I would argue if the government went down, they'd be dancing in the streets.
Exactly. But again, you can't go that way, guys. The problem is Bitcoin. That is the problem. Fake money converted into real money, and it's untraceable. However, I did read a story recently where an insurance company who had to pay $1 million to the bad guys is actually going after the bad guys. And they're going after an exchange that's over in the Cayman Islands or something like that. They trace the actual transaction of these Bitcoins. And what it turns out is these actual exchanges have to kind of keep a record of who their people are. And if you can follow the blockchain forensically, I guess, I'm not an expert at this, but was reading the article. If you follow the blockchain, you can actually find who the bad guys are now. And if you're an insurance company who just lost $1 million because of your cyber policy, you might have incentive to do that. And they might have found these two guys who encrypted, I don't know what business they encrypted, or they encrypted a town, or who knows what they did. And they might be caught. Now, hopefully they're in a country that has an extradition treaty with the United States. But if they're in a place like Iran or what have you, you're not going to do anything about it still. You're back to the whole Bitcoin problem. So I would tell you, get rid of Bitcoin. You get rid of your ransomware problem. Mm-hmm. It's fake money. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Mark in Bristol, hang on. We'll be right back. What is it? We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. I know it's a little cloudy out there, and you've been thinking about your computer, and you're kind of thinking about cuddling up with your computer, and it just doesn't work, right? So feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. Or if you want to talk about encryption, you want to talk about anything, you want to talk about Bitcoin, have you had any success with Bitcoin, or has your wallet been hacked? There's always that going around. Feel free to get online. But let's get to your calls. You're going to go to Mark in Bristol. What's going on, Mark?
Good morning, gentlemen. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just received my new Windows 10 desktop, and it has a 512 gig solid-state drive set up as the primary hard drive, and now I want to create a full-image copy of it. And in your opinion, what would be the best device to use? Would it be a separate external hard drive, or could I use a high-capacity flash drive?
You would need a very high-capacity flash drive, I think, so I would go to the hard drive. If you just want to make an image copy as your system looks now, so you have it in case you have to restore, I would get just a high-capacity hard drive rather than trying to find the right size flash drive.
Okay, do you recommend a specific brand of external hard drives?
Seagate, Western Digital are the big brands out there that we use in our practice. So I don't have any other ideas, Bob, besides those.
Just about any of them is going to be good, provided that you have to use it. I mean,
right. You're going to create the image.
An image, but you also want to do a backup.
On a regular basis.
Because, you know, if that image gets a couple years old, you're not getting the updates with it.
Right.
You know, you're not getting whatever is changed on your computer.
That's true. So how often do you plan on backing up, Mark?
Well, that was my next question. I mean, after you create a full image copy of your primary hard drive, how often would you create a new copy? Would it be once a year, twice a year, or what?
Well, it depends on how much data changes, right? Like Bob said, so every update that comes down is going to get incorporated in the operating system. And the longer you go, like a year or two out, if you did have a crash, you had to reload the old image, then you're going to do all those updates again to get you current. And that's a big pain.
But then you still lose your data.
And you'll still lose your data, right. A year's worth of data is gone.
So the new backup technology will not only back up your whole image, but it also updates the data, you know, that has changed since your last backup.
So Acronis is an image-based backup system, right? So if you get a good image-based software that'll take the image of your system and deal with incrementals, and then you can set it. Say, okay, every week I want a full backup, and then Monday through Friday I'm going to incrementally backup. That's how we would recommend it. But now, you don't want to do it to just one target, and you don't want that one target always connected to your system, because it'll be encrypted with the same ransomware your computer gets encrypted with.
Right. I would only hook up the external hard drive when I want to make this full image copy backup.
Right, but you're a human. And the problem is humans procrastinate. So you'll plug into your backup today, and you may not touch it again for months. And who knows how much data you could lose if you don't do it more regularly. So we tell you to get an A, a B, maybe a C drive. So you had three drives or two and rotate them. So you put it, you know, right on it, the backup date today, back it up. Next one, rotate out, back it up.
The thing
tomorrow.
Is, you can schedule this.
Yeah.
So it happens automatically. So you don't have to really deal with it.
But you still got to swap the hard drives.
You still got to swap the hard drives.
And so disconnect them.
Let's say you created two backups to alternate every other day.
Right.
Then you could, every other day, you just, you know, unplug one, plug in the other one, and then you go back and forth.
Right.
And then you're up to date. Most you're going to lose is a day's worth of data.
That's really comes down to you. What are you willing to lose?
Right. Okay. No, you've answered all my questions. That's great.
All right, Mark. Good luck.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Backup is key. Backup, 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 as we always say. And
more than one shot at your data.
Yeah. The one thing we can guarantee is you're going to have some kind of failure. And the more common type of failure these days is ransomware and encryption, right? So if you don't have any kind of security awareness training implemented in your company to train your people, you could have great web filtration built in. You could have great email filtration and security. And sadly, in our small business client base, as we bring on new clients all the time, most of them don't have any of this. Those two things, good email filtration and good web filtration, will greatly improve your security, you know, 80%, right? You're gonna have less chance of going to the bad sites, and you're gonna have much less chance of the bad email coming down. Last step is antivirus. That'll give you another 10%, but you still get that 10% hanging out there. And you know those guys are? Your people.
I was at a client yesterday.
Yeah.
And they printed out this email and showed it to me.
Yeah.
And there was a link in the email.
Right.
And it came from one of the people that was in their own office.
Because they were spoofed or something.
Yes. Yeah. And so they asked them, did you send me this email? And they said, no.
Right. So they were spoofed and they could have been tricked.
But it looked like a real email.
Exactly. And that's where security awareness training comes in. So the last step is to train your people on what to look out for when it comes to phishing emails. And our technology that we do for our clients gives them a good hour plus long training, interactive training technology. And then we phish them regularly giving them the opportunity as an end user to identify the email as a phishing attempt, and then they're congratulated for saving their company. Because yes, you're right. You pointed out the simulated phishing, or if they click on it, they get the old wah wah, and they're put back into remedial training. And then you actually will figure out who your clickers are in your organization, because they seem to keep falling for it. Those are the people that will encrypt your entire business. Now, if that happens, you now got to go to backup, because the bad guys got past your email scans, they got past your web defense scans, and they got past the AV, which happens. Your user inadvertently let it go past because they didn't realize it was a trick. Now what are you going to do? Well, you're going to have to go to a good backup. And if your backup is poor, you're going to be down for weeks.
If you have no backup,
just close the doors. And your backup has to be a good one. It has to be an image-based backup of your system that has both a local and offsite component.
And you have to do test restores to make sure that it's actually getting the data.
It's a really bad day when you do a restoration and your backup has nothing. That's a really bad day. Heck, that's why we created Patrol Dog. You probably have heard the ads. That's why we created Patrol Dog, to keep an eye on our client servers and your servers, because we can't trust you to swap out the cartridges in the old days, or we can't trust the system to make sure it's going to back up. So we have to double check that it is on a regular basis, so that if and when that day comes, which sadly it comes, you have to be able to restore.
There's nothing worse than the pit of your stomach feeling when you got to tell a client you have no backup.
Right. It was preventable. Most of the time that ever happens in our case is when they don't listen to the type of backup we tell them to use. And they're like, oh, I was changing out my hard drive that was connected to the server on a regular basis. Well, it's encrypted. I'm sorry. Where's your other hard drive? Oh, that's the only one we use. Really?
Oh, my thumb drive that I was backing up on failed.
You're done. So keep that in mind. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Four lines open on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online. Everything we talk about today is going to be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you follow us on Facebook, if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it may get into your news feed. And then, of course, if you follow us on Twitter at Tab Computer Sys, I don't know how you have time to even use Twitter, but if you do, and you follow us on Twitter, these will also get into your Twitter feed as well. We're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and all the lines are all jammed up. Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. We do appreciate it. Otherwise, Bob and I'll just talk about our kids, and you don't want to hear about that. Let's go on to Jeff in South Carolina first. Morning, Jeff. What can we do for you?
Oh, yeah. Good morning. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I got a couple questions. The first one is about backing up a hard drive. I got several external hard drives, and I had several computers over the past years.
Yep.
I might have backed up information.
Yeah.
And now I want to try to back up, clean up some of those external drives so I can make a good backup for
yep.
my new computer.
Sure.
But how do I distinguish the information that's on the other external drives to remove them? I mean, like, if I got a backup on that of an old system, would it? I mean, it's confusing.
It's confusing, right? So that's where record keeping comes in, where, you know, it's helpful going forward. You should maybe keep a log with your backup of what you're doing, because looking at the data itself of the backup target, it might have dates. It might have date stamps on the backup saying, here's when you wrote the file, so you'll know how old it is. And if you look at this, what software did you use, Jeff, to do the backup?
I just backed it up on an external drive.
But what software did you use? Did you copy and paste? Did you use a backup tool?
I just used a copy tool that came with Windows, whatever. version of Windows I was using at the time.
All right, so you probably used the backup software that came with that version of Windows, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can plug the hard drive in, and you might see some date stamps as of when the files were written, and that might give you a clue as to how old they are or what system they had to do with. But going forward, you should keep a little log of what you're doing and the software you're using to back it up with. Go ahead, Bob.
I would create a new folder called New Backup, and then run a full backup and point the backup into that New Backup folder. And once that's complete, I delete all the old backups. Then that's all you have.
Right.
The new backup.
So you're saying take all the, I got about two or three external drives, back them up to my new external drive, and...
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Not really. No. What Bob is saying, if you want to create a new backup, you could create a new folder. But your problem is you're not sure what you have on those drives, right?
No, I'm not sure. You're right.
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue with backup is where the rubber hits the road is when you actually perform a restoration. And a lot of people forget what they used for the backup software. When the computer's dead, right, and you're looking at a blank screen, you're going to say to yourself, huh, what did I use? What did I use the built-in Windows backup? Because people kind of forget. Did I buy a software to back it up? And if you don't know these things, it can get kind of ugly as far as trying to figure out what you have. Now, if these old machines are done and finished and you've been moving your data from the other computers to your new computer, Jeff, do you really need to worry about the backup of the old systems? I don't know that you do.
Probably not because, I mean, I got quite a bit of data on the new one already, and that's what I was thinking. I might not even need to be concerned with it. I mean, I was right out of mind.
Right. Well, yeah, and did you ever have a crash, sir? Did you ever fail? Did you ever have a system failure?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay.
But since then, no. I took your advice. I unplugged my external drive, so it wouldn't get encrypted.
Nice.
I did a scan on there. You know how long it took it to scan that using WebRoot? 25 hours.
I believe it.
Well, I couldn't believe. But I got one more question here.
Yeah.
I want to cut the cable, but the TV, I got DirecTV, so I got a box for the TV, and then I got the router. So I'm going to have to replace both of those in order to cut the cable?
DirecTV is satellite TV. That's a little different.
Right, but do you have where's your internet through? Is that through DirecTV?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got AT&T.
Ah.
And we got fiber optic.
You have fiber optic high-speed internet?
In South Carolina.
Man, you're a lucky man.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I know.
Yeah, so you only... Okay. In the AT&T router, is it their router or your router, Jeff?
It's their wire. All the equipment is there.
Okay.
It's a BG200 something.
Nice. All right, so here's the thing. You don't need to necessarily change anything other than get rid of your DirecTV satellite service. And then you got to buy, so to test this out, go buy a Roku or go buy a NVIDIA Shield or go buy an Apple TV, whatever floats your boat. Go buy an Amazon Fire Stick, plug it into one of your TVs. And then,
I got a Fire Stick.
All right, then connect it to your network and then do a test. You know, you can do a YouTube TV for, I think it's a week for free. So sign up for YouTube TV or Hulu, wherever you're going to do, and see how it works on your system, right? See how well you get your streaming looks. With fiber, I suspect it'll be fine. And then if you like the channels, you like the service, then you can call DirecTV and give them the bad news. As long as you keep your fiber service. You can't get rid of your internet. You can only get rid of the TV channels.
That. Yeah. But, you know, like, I got cameras all around my house. The lady next door, she's a blonde, and she was, like, in her house, and it was late at night, and the dog was barking. So... she got up, went downstairs, and then came back in. The neighbor's dog was barking all night. She couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
So she went and looked outside, went downstairs, came back. And her husband said, what do you do? What do you do? She said, hey, I put the dog in our yard. I want her to see how that dog sound barking all night.
What? All right, so you've got cameras is what you're telling me. You've got internet cameras, and you've been using those for security?
That was a joke, Eric.
Oh, okay, because I have no idea what you're talking about, man. It's got to be, I mean, I'm trying to listen to your question. I'm like, either that South Carolina humor that I'm not getting, or, I mean, everybody up here in Connecticut's like, what the heck is Jeff talking about? But, yeah, so check out the stream and hope that works for you. And I'm going to try to figure out that joke after I listen to it on the podcast.
She was a blonde. She went outside. She moved the dog to her yard so the people that had the dog could see how the dog sound barking all night.
Gotcha. Is it a blonde joke? Is it a blonde joke?
Blonde joke.
All right.
Blonde
joke. You got to work on that one, man.
Yeah, I got to work on my delivery.
Keep your day job.
I will.
All right, Jeff.
All right, bye.
Take it easy. Oh, I love it when Jeff calls from South Carolina. He always has these jokes that I always don't get them. I don't understand. I don't know why I just don't get them. All right, let's move on. I think it is because I'm actually listening to so many of these calls, and I assume whatever you're talking about is real. Yeah, let's go on to Bill in Bolton. What's going on, Bill?
Well, I am cleaning house, and I'm going to kind of age myself. I have two T99-4As.
Oh, my Lord.
Complete with three keyboards, the discs, the books.
Wow.
All the cables, has a floppy disk in them. They're the two big hard units. Is there anybody I can give them to other than throw them away?
Not that I've ever heard. You'd have to have some weird collector that would maybe collect Beanie Babies and old computers.
Texas Instruments?
Yeah.
They're all T99-4As.
Yeah, you could, yeah, Bob saying reach out to Texas Instruments and see if they have any interest in it. But I can't imagine anybody else wanted to take your garbage.
Well, I was thinking that maybe somebody would take them and then they could, actually, you can program them. I go back where they used to use Fortran, COBOL, Assembler, RPG.
Right.
All dead languages.
Old stuff. Well, believe it or not, COBOL is still used by our insurance clients, insurance companies here in Connecticut. But
thing is, I used to buy millions of cards from Jersey Tab. Are you the same people?
No, we're not. We're just Tab.
Because back in my day, it was 1401, 7074. Then they moved up to the 360s.
Yeah, old stuff, man.
But there is no use for them. I have no...
No. You want to recycle them properly, so don't throw them in a landfill. You want to make sure they end up in a... You know, electronics recycling, and a lot of your towns will accept it separately as a, you know.
Yeah, our town does do that.
Yeah. But yeah, Bill, I can't think of anybody would have any use for them whatsoever.
Well, thank you very much. That's all I wanted to know.
All right. You're welcome, Bill. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's one of those things with technology. I mean, it doesn't really get cooler
That's
as
so
it gets
old.
Older.
I mean, configuring that old equipment was a lot of work. Because you had to work with, you know, the config sys file and...
Right. And it could barely... I mean...
You had to put your drivers, list your drivers in the right order to get them to work. And,
yeah. You couldn't do a whole lot with those things. But now we have computers that still can't even tell time, so we've made it a long way. Let's go to Ken in Prospect. What's up, Ken?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. last year I got a new Dell Inspiron i5 8 RAM, etc.
Nice.
Recently, I'd say in the last few months, the Windows update, a couple of them have started to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried resetting Windows update. I've tried manual installs. You know, I did some research online. I've tried a few different solutions.
So did you find the manual install for that particular update that Microsoft puts out sometimes?
Yes.
The helper, the install helper?
It had a KB article, so I went and, you know, kind of found that, and it had a manual instructions.
Yep.
I did that. And what happens is it says it's installed, then you do the restart, and then it says, you know, problems were found, we're removing this update.
Right.
Rolling it back.
Yeah, so I paused the updates to, you know, kind of stop that. But I don't know if I should call Dell or Microsoft or something like that.
Well, here's the thing. The question you have to ask yourself is my computer working poorly or not?
Right. No, it's fine. Yeah.
Right. So there's that step.
Yep.
Getting the updates can be just as problematic as not getting them.
Yep.
So we're going to be a little jaded in our advice here to you. So for security reasons, you do want Microsoft to have to update their software because there's plenty of problems with it. I mean, the NSA came out with that big warning
just after Windows 7 was deprecated, literally the day later, and said, you better update your Windows 10 because you got a huge problem with Windows 10. So there's a point there where your government's telling you to upgrade an update. So there's a risk that you probably need to make sure it happens and updates for you. However, your it's not working. So I guess the moral of the story is you have to keep fighting with these updates until they finally go if you want them to work. Pausing them are not going to be the solution. What version of Windows 10 are you currently on? Have you done a WinVer so we have an idea where you are?
I haven't done that.
Let's see where you are.
I'll do that right now. But I did notice at the beginning of the name of these updates, right, cumulative update for .NET framework, et cetera.
Yeah.
At the front of that, it says 2020-01. Does that mean it's a version as of 2020-01, like January of 2020?
Probably.
So I could try again and see if this version installs.
Well, let's see what version you're on. Like right now, my Windows 10 is running 1909.
I am on 1903.
All right, so you're behind.
So you could probably do an upgrade that might fix this problem.
What kind of upgrade? Yeah. How does he get around the failed?
Well, the 1909, they released it and pulled it back.
Yeah,
and then they released it again and they pulled it back. I think it's back out there again, but I'm not sure.
We're going to try to find a most recent 1909. Actually, in 1909, I don't have this on top of my head as if that's the latest. It may not be. Is that the latest, Bob, 1909?
Yes.
Okay, it is. So we'll try to find the latest update of Windows for you. Now, there's other things that can be in your way. Antivirus, right? You could have an antivirus program causing problems. Any third-party things could be sitting in your system tray causing trouble with Microsoft for the update.
Yep.
So, you know, try to not run anything in the background while you're trying to do this update. Make sure everything's, you know, disabled or turned off when it comes to that kind of thing. And then we're going to have to try to find a forced 1909 install for you. If it still fails, there's something up with your hardware. You may have to reach out to Dell. And if this is still under warranty or no?
Yep, it is.
Good. So try the link that we're going to find for you. If it still gives you trouble, try to leverage your warranty a bit to see if they're having trouble with this Dell system. If you go out to support.dell.com and put in your system tag, you should be able to find updated drivers where you may want to update the Windows 10 drivers on your system first and then try the 1909 if it fails again to see if there's any new drivers that might make this work for you. Have you ever done that yet? Have you gone to Dell's site?
I've gone to the site, but I haven't done anything there other than just check my information, basically.
Yeah, go check for any updated or latest drivers that you can apply to your machine, then try the update again. That might be where your problem lies. There might be some weird video driver or some motherboard driver that's causing trouble.
Is this the reason I haven't progressed to 1909 because I'm kind of stuck?
Exactly. Yeah. The updates are not occurring. You're at 1903.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Bob.
All right. I'm on 1903 myself right now, and I tried to go to 1909, but they pulled it back, so it wouldn't show up in my Windows update. So go to your start button and type in the search box, Windows Update, and click on Check for Updates. Because right now, I see that underneath Check for Updates, it says Feature Update to Windows 10 version 1909. It's available. There's a link that says Download and Install.
For your machine.
So they re-released it.
Right, and I got lucky. Mine came through. I say lucky with air quotes. and so Bob's had not updated yet. But again, it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? I would say if everything's working okay, it's almost be careful what you wish for. We've always been kind of cautious when it comes to Microsoft and their updates.
Right. Yeah. It's just, an annoyance. I have to keep them paused.
Right. Well,
I can unpause, right, and pick up whatever works. And I'll get those, right?
Exactly. It'll keep updating whatever it can update, but you do want to get further than 1903 and get over to 1909. Again, thanks to our... And if the NSA is... These are the people who will not generally tell anybody about a vulnerability because they want to use it against everybody. When the NSA tells you Microsoft has a problem with their operating system, you almost got to listen.
Yep.
Right. I mean, that's a scary. That's the rarest time we've ever heard from the NSA. Usually, they let the actual secret is released to the bad guys, right, by accident. That's generally what the NSA has been doing. In this case, they're letting us know we have to update. So we should be a little more cautious in this case because of that vulnerability. And we put the link to that information as far as what the NSA said on a couple of past show links. But we can put it up again. What the heck?
Yep.
Take a look at it and you can see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right, Ken?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, Microsoft had promised, you know, Windows 10 would be the be-all and the end-all of these types of problems. But
well, what
these
version of Windows 10?
Yeah. What do you mean Windows 10 has versions? It's got bazillion versions. It's a
well, it
mess.
Comes out with a new version twice a year. You know, whatever the year is, 1603, 1609, 1703, 1709, 1803, 1809, 1903, 1909.
Yeah.
Well, it's not March yet.
That's true. That's how they do it. It is very confusing if you think you've just got Windows 10 and everything's happy. I was just talking to somebody in my community band who had an issue with his mouse or something like that. I think it was his pointer or something like that. He couldn't make it work. He didn't get an update, and that made his machine not work. So he forced an update for the operating system, and it solved the problem. I mean, just the weirdest stuff, and it's the year 2020, and this stuff is still happening. You just can't make it up. You really just can't. Let's go on to Al and Avon next. What's going on, Al?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Quick one. I've got a new laptop, Envy HP.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I also have a desktop HP Envy.
Wow.
One's 8.1 with the desktop and 10 with the laptop.
Yep.
And I had malware bytes on the desktop for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I hooked it up with the laptop with that.
Yep.
And then an update about a month ago came through malware bytes with a new version.
Yeah.
I updated it, and the next day I turned the unit on the laptop, and it went dead. It wouldn't even turn on.
It's not related.
Well, I didn't think so, but I called HP just to get the thing going. You know, you got a year of guarantee with it.
Yep.
Phone service.
Mm-hmm.
They remotely accessed it.
Yep.
First thing out of their mouth was, you got a problem with this malware bytes. It's interfering. And they went into the BIOS the whole bit, cleaned everything up. And
well, the malware bytes doesn't do anything in the BIOS.
Right. They had to get in the BIOS just to get the machine going.
Well, then that's the truth. So there's the truth. What they said about malware bytes was completely unrelated to going into your BIOS.
That's what I thought. That's why I'm calling.
Yeah. I'm not saying they lied, but they didn't tell you the truth.
Right.
Hey, malware bytes is causing the problem. Let me go into your BIOS. And that's before the operating system even loads and fix the problem with your system. That is a physical hardware problem with your system if they're in the BIOS.
Right. So that's what he did, and yeah, it is fixed, and
yep,
it is running.
And Malwarebytes is still on there, right?
No, I took it off the laptop, and I'm afraid to put it back on.
Put it back on, because if he was in your BIOS,
yep,
that's where he solved your issue.
It was a hardware issue, not a software.
Right. It was a hardware problem.
Okay.
I guarantee you that. So you can put it back on if you like Malwarebytes. We have no problem with that.
Well, it's good as an adjunct where I don't run it, but if I want to run it once a month. I mean, it's not on constantly.
Okay, what's your constant antivirus?
McAfee Live Safe.
Okay, so then I would then keep Malwarebytes off until you have a reason to think you have malware.
Right, but by it being updated and just sitting there idle and doing nothing, shouldn't have shut my machine down.
It did not. I promise you it did not.
Your machine
Your machine not booting and them playing around with your BIOS is all prior to the operating system. So,
oh, yeah. He had to get into that just to get the screen to light up.
Right. That's a physical problem, not a software problem.
Right. Is that something I should worry about?
Yep.
And it's still under warranty, so.
Yep. Well, keep it plugged in and powered up. This is the laptop, right?
Right.
This is sounds like the exact same problem my kids had with the Envys, because they just didn't charge it enough. And so
okay.
Keep it well charged, and that was their problem, because I'm literally week after school started a year ago,
yep.
I'm driving up to UConn because my kid can't get his laptop running. I'm like, what's going on? It's brand new. Right. The battery wasn't charged. I'm like, come on,
it,
man.
So it also went so dead that you couldn't even turn it on.
Exactly. It was the exact same symptom you're describing.
Wow.
So I'm like, come on, man. You got to power. You can't just leave it uncharged for days and hope it's going to work. Ever since he's charged it properly, it's never been a problem.
So I can literally keep it plugged in.
Keep it plugged in, yeah.
Because I use it as a backup for the desktop. So okay. I just leave it plugged in then.
Yeah, keep it plugged in. Keep the case closed so you're protecting the screen. And yeah, that's what I would do.
Because right. I love the thing. It's in solid state, and yep. I'll never go back to a regular hard drive.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which you mentioned them about backups earlier.
Yep.
What's your thoughts about a solid state external backup?
It might be a little more than you want to spend, Al, but I got to go off to a break here. You want to hold over?
Okay, sure.
All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike has been posting feverishly. If you want to read that article about the NSA and why you've got to update your Windows 10, definitely check it out. We'll also be following us on Facebook. If you like us at Tab Computer Systems, the information will get into your news feed. We'll be right back.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.